Matic named Art. And just a second to be quiet for a minute, just to settle my mind for a second and hopefully allow God to come in. Okay, that moment, please. Thank you. Well, first of all, I'd like to say, I'd like to thank Chrissy and Unity Retreat Committee for asking me to come up here and take a risk on attic sharing. You know, there's some things that hasn't gone away yet, some things I refuse to let go of, and because of that, y'all taking a risk. You know, my topic is the triangle of self-obsession. And I'm so grateful that they asked me to share on this. I don't have a flyer up here. Usually it's in a pamphlet. I forgot which pamphlet number it is. But if you get to a home group or something like that, it's usually laying around. Pick it up. Read it. You might learn something. You know, there's different things in this fellowship that can help you deal with life. There's various tools in Narcotics Anonymous that you can use, such as sponsorship, the book, and the pamphlets to help you learn how to live a new way of life. The triangle of self-obsession is one of those tools. I need to share a little bit about my background, just a little bit. I came up in the projects, Buffalo, New York. I'm here now in Altoona, and for those that don't know, the word Altoona means meeting place. If you look it up and any Google it or anything, it's going to come up. The word means meeting place. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of addicts here today, but usually, even at our meetings are, my home group, we regularly get about 80 people at my home group on Sunday night, right down the street at 6 o'clock, based on attraction, is my home group. My clean time is 2:14, that's Valentine's Day, 1992. Been clean 21 years. Still coming to meetings regularly. Where I come from a place where you couldn't order pizza, you couldn't order cabs, they were shooting off the rooftops with gangs. That's where I come from. And my parents did the best they could teaching me how to live. For a lot of times, the information that we got, I know the information that I got, was misinformed information from misinformed people. I remember my father telling me stuff like, don't put your hands on women. And my father, he gave me one jewel. He gave me a jewel that I never forgot. And because of my mother and father getting a divorce when I was younger, I never really understood what that was until I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And what he told me is that never leave a woman mad. He said, never leave a woman mad. And I used to be like, because my father, unlike me, and I need to be honest about this, my father was a womanizer. That's not one of the defects that I have. I don't have the luxury of doing that. I can talk a little bit, but usually it's based on looks. And my mother was, the message that she gave me was that don't hit no woman, unless that woman hits you first. So you can see where the message was, don't leave a woman mad. Don't hit no woman unless the woman hits you first. Because coming up in the projects, you know, there was some rough-ass women up in there. You know, and they would do some things. And we all, you know, coming up in that environment, it was all about game and all about manipulation and all about, you know, it was cold, very cold. To give you a glimpse, a snapshot, it wasn't rare for me to walk into my building, the elevator be broke, have to walk up the stairs, all the lights be busted out in the stairwell so can't nobody see nobody in case they want to mug you and rob you, get up to the top of the stairs to hear a group of guys in line and one girl at the top on the floor getting it done. It wasn't uncommon. So my understanding of relationships, I wasn't really the greatest at them. I had no idea that I was an addict. And so when I would get in relationships, if the relationships didn't work out, and sometimes they didn't, before I get out of the relationship, I would try to do something to the woman to make her make me mad enough, you know, to make her mad enough to try to swing at me so I had a right to smack the shit out of her. I'm just keeping it real. So when we got ready to break up or something like that, I would say some things. I would point in her forehead, bitch, motherfucking, and if you fucking in that, and I would antagonize her. And if she raised her hand and tried to hit me, there you go, I got the right now, because my mama told me, don't hit a woman till a woman hits you. So I had the right now to beat the shit out your ass, or at least smack you. Because I wouldn't really beat a woman like I would fight a man. I'm just being real. That shit didn't serve me well coming up in my life in relationships. I was insecure. I wanted to control stuff. I wanted her not to look at nobody, only be with me. Don't mess with, don't look at nobody, don't talk to no other man. And I was so insecure that most of the time, I ran women away instead of keeping women. So that behavior came on with me when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Coming out of the storm, you know, I don't know about you, but I came in here on a broken heart. Because the disease had put me in such a predicament, I was at an animalistic level, sleeping in the corner on the dirty clothes, in a house that I had furnished everything, but it wasn't no furniture that you would want to keep. Thinking I'm a man, because I had a daughter when I was 15 years old. When I got clean, I was 39. Thinking I was a man, laying in the fetal position, withdrawing off of drugs. And I need to say this here. Because my mother and father, they got a divorce when I was younger. Because my mother and father got a divorce and didn't stay together, I always felt like at some point in my life, maybe one day, they'll get back together. And I always felt like that would happen because of me. Because it was all about me. It wasn't about their happiness. It was about my happiness. And my happiness said, if they get back together, I can have the best of everything. Because my father was a professional golfer, steel worker, ladies man. He always had a new car, that kind of dude. And my mother, she was really athletic, had a steady job. Damn near professional bowler. She bowled her ass off. And I just felt like if they ever got back together, my life would be complete. So needless to say, when I got in relationships, one of the things that happened, and I need to say it because some people may not be able to connect this. I start living my life vicariously through them. And when I start getting in relationships with women, I didn't never want to leave because I wanted to stay till the bitter end. Because I thought that they should stay till the bitter end. So I wanted to stay, and sometimes I was in the relationship when it was over. And I remember her walking up to me and saying to me, when I was in my fetal position, after I gave everything, because I was an enabler and a user. How about that? But when it came to women, I would do what I can. I never was a guy that bought no pussy, never was a guy that, you know, gave women money to be with me, but I would do what I needed to do to make sure you stay with me. So I did all that I could do, and I gave all of myself to another human being, and I learned later on in recovery that you never give another human being your whole heart. Only God deserves your whole heart. That another human being, just like a kid, if you give a kid too much power and let the kid get away with whatever the kid want to get away with, that kid will toil and play and bounce all over the room and play with your heart. Just like another human being will play with your heart. It ain't that I don't love and I need to, it's that I love God more. And she walked up to me and she said, because by that time I didn't recognize I was a shell of a man. The disease had brought me to degradation, isolation, loss of control. And she looked at me and she didn't see a man. She saw a bump. And she said, I don't know what you're going to do, Arthur, but I'm going to start seeing other men. And I'm laying there, and I'm in no condition to do anything, really. But the only thing that went through my mind is that, then I got to get the fuck up out of here. Because if I stay here, somebody's going to die. And in my mind at that time, I'm thinking I'm going to kill somebody. But the reality of it was that even at that point, I was the only one that was dying. If I wanted to even defend myself, I probably wouldn't have been able to unless I got my stuff off first. Because that's how bad a condition I was in. So I left and I went to the Salvation Army. But with all of that stuff, we had our fights. Me and her had our fights. You know, she was an addict too. So she would do different things. By that time, I had got the mentality because I had been messing with so many women that was also in the disease of addiction that I didn't care if she messed with other men, because what that did for me is gave me opportunity to use her to get more drugs. So if I seen another guy that was a cold-blooded sucker, I would even ask her, see that motherfucker, call me, that motherfucker over there. Because it was all about us. I remember more vividly one time her brother had a pile of cocaine and rock on the table. And we was in there getting high. He was a, you know, He dealt weight. And we was in there getting high. And he said, let me show you something. And he acted like we was doing something. And he said, let me show you something. And he called his sister into the kitchen where we was getting high at. And he asked her to do some menial task because he was that kind of dude. Pour me a glass of water. He got his own water. He's standing right there. But you know, he was the kind of dude would make dudes, you know, go wash my car. You want something? Go wash my car. You know, he was that kind of dude. And she came in the kitchen, and he told her to fix me some ice water or something, and he started talking about his car, and he took me outside. He was faking it the whole time. We got outside to the car, and we acted like we was talking. And then we came back inside, And we went into the kitchen, and when we started coming back inside, we started speaking up because she was still in the kitchen. And we started speaking up so she could hear what we was, that we was coming on purpose. And we walked back in the kitchen, and half of his rock was gone. I mean, you don't do anything wrong at it. But he wanted to show me something. He knew what time it was. He wanted to show me something. He said, "You see that?" I said, "Yeah, I see that." He said, "And that's my sister, man."
Wow.
He said, "What you think she gonna do to you?" I was sick of the motherfucker. I said, "She gonna give me half of that motherfucker." Huh? That's what I was thinking. Needless to say, she ain't give me none. So I'm talking about where I come from and how we dealt with situations, right? So I come in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and immediately, as soon as I get here, there's a woman in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that I have been in a relationship with while before I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. So we had a lot of history. We were young when we got hooked up. She had got pregnant at one time. I owed her amends in the work that I'd done, and I did those amends. But when I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, all that stuff that we had from the past rekindled. And we got back together. And I'm 30 days clean. She got 3 years clean. And I come back into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm going to tell you what I thought. From coming from a broken relationship, a hurtful relationship, into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and seeing somebody in the rooms that I had a relationship with in the past, and I mean, she had it going on. Right? So I walked in the rooms, and with that being there, we got that going again. All I could think about is God is good. God is good. He brought me out of the hells of fire into the situation and the relationship and the rooms and that kind of, I can't connect. She got 3 years. I got 30 days. I don't know what recovery is. What's she working with for real? What is she working with, messing with somebody with 30 days, smoke still rising up off my ass? But I can't see that. I'm grateful in the mug that I got somebody there. Not long after that situation happened, after we started getting together, obviously it's got to be some shit wrong. I know it's some shit wrong with me, but I don't know what really should be wrong with her or whatever. And I remember going to a party, and I walk up to the door of the party, and I knock on the door, and I ring the doorbell don't work. And then I peek in the window, because the window was at the same level as the porch, and I peek in the window, and she's laying up on another dude. And I knock on the window, and they say, "Who is it?" I say, "It's her." And all of a sudden, well, everybody moving around now. And I walk into the door, and she's sitting over here, he's sitting over there, and I'm saying, like, I already got you. It's a wrap. And I act like nothing happened, played it off, and I had a reservation with my son's mother, the one that I had been using with, that was back in another city. And I said to myself, tomorrow I'm going to go visit her. And I went to go visit her. Because, see, I didn't know there was a solution. I didn't know there was a tool that I could use to come up out of where I was at. So I always did. I wanted to show the fellas that ain't nothing, man, because I could go over here. And I went over there, and when I knocked on her door, she came down, and she was smiling when she saw me. And I said, "Yeah, I just come by to see you. How you doing?" And she said, "I'm doing fine, but you can't come up now. I've got company." And I was in a place where I had only people that I knew. I didn't know nobody from the rules of Narcotics Anonymous. Only people I knew was people that used. And it was one of those days. I didn't want to come back to Buffalo because my faith I ain't want nobody to see or to know that I went up there and got turned down up there too. So I said, I'm going to go visit one of my old user buddies, and I'm going to stay at his house. And I go over to his house, but on the way to his house, they say, you know, your sponsor ain't got the answers to everything that you go through. That's why you need a support system. You need some other people that's got some experience in some things that your sponsor may not have experience in. Because what we should be sharing is experience, strength, and hope, and not some, you know, control, do this shit. But one thing I heard, even in the midst of that, was that it's going to be a time when it's only going to be between you and the God of your understanding. And it was one of those times on the way over there, I started praying. I started praying to God. And I asked God, I said, no matter what, God, please don't let me use. Because I had failed so many times before. And I knew I was right back in position again to get fucked. And I said, God, please. And I got over to my friend's house and he said, man, you just missed it, man. We just been smoking this and doing that, man. Here go a 40-ounce. You want that, man? They smoking weed on the porch. I'm saying, no, no, not today, just for today. And I said, just do me one favor, man. Just let me use your couch so I can get to sleep overnight and I can go back home and save my face. God's prayers work because that's what I did. And I didn't use, and I went back home the next day, still faking the funk, as if everything was all right, but I was messed up. And what I wanted to do at that time, all of what had happened then was because of her. Was because of that girl I had just met with the 3 years clean in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, it was her fault that my life was in jeopardy again. And I wanted to go back to the dude that I always was, and I want to show you, and I want to hurt you. And it just happened to be a convention going on that weekend, the next weekend. And I went to that convention, and at the convention they had this workshop, and the workshop was the Triangle of Self-Obsession. Wow. And I never knew. I didn't know what the hell it was. But let me give you a snapshot of the Triangle of Self-Obsession. It deals with your present, with your past, your present, and your future. It's a simple truth. God is not so deep that he can't be reached. It's a simple truth. There's a negative side and there's a positive side to the triangle. Because of the way I was brought up, and I didn't know I always lived in the negative side of the triangle. The negative side of the triangle is resentment, anger, and fear. Resentment of the past, anger how I deal in the present, and fear the future. And when I sat down there and I listened to this guy share on the triangle of self-obsession, he didn't know that he was giving me what I needed to come out of that situation differently than I always had. And I listened to him, and what I got in touch with was the resentment that I had from all the things that had happened. You know, it was resentment in me from the stuff I had done to myself. It was resentment from my past, resentment for how I still wasn't feeling good about me. You know, all that stuff was balled up in that resentment. So no wonder in the present when I dealt with people that I confronted in the present, I was angry. I was walking around angry, didn't know I was walking around angry. I was living angry because I didn't understand how the past was affecting my present. And because of the background that I told you, that I was trying to hold on to a relationship based on my parents' breakup, I was afraid of the future. I had fear that if this ends, I don't know what's coming next. See, I wasn't that dude that could get women like that. So I was afraid of what's going to happen. Am I going to be by myself again? I'm ready almost to compromise my principles so I could be with somebody because I don't want to be alone no more. And I got the fear of like, what's going to happen? I don't know. I ain't been using God. I don't know how to use God. I wasn't in the process of using God yet, but he got into the positive side of the triangle of self-obsession. Acceptance, love, and faith. After doing some work for a while, I got better with the acceptance as to who I was and understanding that God don't create no junk and God didn't make a mistake and that I had a purpose in this life. But that was another process. It wasn't in existence at that time. All I knew is that what had happened to me at that moment, I needed to let it be what it was and get acceptance with the reality of what I was facing and go share it with somebody. Go call your sponsor. Go share it in the meetings. And because we was going to meetings together, we was both in recovery at that time, I learned early not to share somebody else's. If I got dirt going on and I'm in a relationship with somebody in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I don't come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and spread that dirt. Because I'd be harming them. And it ain't about harming them. It's about fixing me. This ain't got nothing to do with them. But I know that I can come in the rooms and still get the help that I need by coming in and sharing about the harm that has been done, how I feel, how I hurt. If I'm hurting and I'm feeling messed up, I can come and say, you ain't got to know the circumstances for me to get some feedback. And I had a sponsor that I could talk to in confidentiality where I could really let it all hang out. And I trusted that sponsor. That's the love that I got from the fellowship. That's the love that I got from my sponsor in the present that helped me get through how I was feeling at that time. That's the love that I needed to help me ride through this here and not to fall back on what I always fell back on. So understand, it's going to be okay. That just like this person came into your life, somebody else will. And if you just do what you need to do, the next one will be, and you know, this has been my experience. My experience has been, I've been in several relationships in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I've been married twice. My first wife died clean in the fellowship. The wife I'm married to now is another gift. God just keeps on blessing me. But what I've learned from being here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is that the failed relationships that I had in the past were not there because of how messed up I was, but it was there because of how messed up I was. Let me understand. Let me explain that. The things that happened because a lot of times I don't know who I am and my defects show up and they tear everything apart. So that's why some of the stuff happens, but it also happens to show me how to repair that action so that I don't repeat the mistakes again. What I was learning in every relationship that didn't work when I was in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous was not that I was a bad person in relationships. I was learning from each relationship how to be a better man. And as time went on, I started liking me. And as time went on, I started loving me. And as time went on, just like you was talking about, I got the greatest love of all. Understanding that if I don't have nobody ever in my life, I got God. Do you think God is enough? Do you think God is enough? I know I could keep people keep reaching for somebody else to fill that void. I just want to know, do you think, because I know this here, every time I got kicked to the curb, it was a human being that did it. My mama did it, my girls did it, my daddy did it. God never kicked me to the curb. And if you don't believe in God, then believe in good orderly direction. Believe in what you learn. See, because what I also know about the triangle of self-obsession is that it's the first, second, and third step. Acceptance, love, open-mindedness, hope, willingness, third step, willingness, faith, huh? It's one, two, and three also that we need to learn to live a different way of life. What I understand about 1, 2, and 3 is that 1, 2, and 3 is usually the solution to the problems that I face every day. And as I go on through the rest of the stuff after that, I'm cleaning up the stuff that I tore up from the stuff I had from my past. And when I get to 10, I start recognizing if I make a mistake, fall over the edge, because I learned so much about me thus far, that I know that I need to immediately go back to somebody and maybe say to them, I'm sorry. I got faith now. And the way I feel now, see, I remember the guy that came to the fellowship that didn't believe that he was worthy to be with nobody, and didn't believe that he had the ability to be in any relationship for any period of time, especially long lasting. God has built another man. He's built a man that feels like this, and it may sound whatever it may sound like, but believe me, this is what God has put in me. That it's not whether I'm worthy of you now, it's whether you're worthy of me. Because the way that I'm living today, I'm not trying to add notches to my belt. Because the way that I'm living today, I'm trying to be the best man that I can be. And if you don't want nobody good in your life, then you don't want to fuck with me. Because I'm doing the best that I can. I look at it, ain't no perfect. You hear me cussing? Yeah. And trust and believe in some stuff that's deeply embedded. And it's some stuff that I may never let go, but if you saw who I was, you'll understand who I am. There's some tools in here. If we get the willingness to open up, to listen, to learn, to allow God to move. And just see, there's no model for the recovering addict. So just because this went this way for me, doesn't mean it's going to go the same for you. Because God got a different purpose and a different reason for working in your life. But I'm sharing my experience, Script of Hope. And this is what God has done for me. You know, it's something I need to go here with. And it's a reality for me. Another place that I had to use the triangle of self-obsession was when I got 90 days clean. And I had to go back to my baby mama because I wasn't done yet. And I went back to her to try to give her, I wanted to show her, look what recovery has done for me. I'm 90 days clean. I'm shining. Look at how good recovery is. I remember being in the bed with her, and I said, you know, so what do you think about me now? How do you feel about? She said, do you see anything different? And she said, yeah, I see something different. I said, so what is it? She said, you smell better. It don't happen overnight. But that was enough at that point. But I remember when I knocked on the door. It was Valentine's Day. It was the 12th. This is why my clean date is on February the 14th. It was February the 12th. And I knocked on her door. She came down, answered the door. It was a couple days before Valentine's Day, and I had the flowers, and I had the candy, and I had the card, and I was like, "Happy Valentine's Day, yeah." And she looked at me, and she said, thank you," and didn't really crack a smile. And I knew this wasn't enough. And automatically, stay away from people, places, and things.
Yeah.
Automatically, I said, "I'm finna go to the store and get me some potato chips and a pop. You want me to get you something? You want a 40 ounce or something? Yeah, get me a 40. Classy girl, classy girl." I went and got her a 40 ounce, and on the way out the store was the same store I used to always go cop at. They were standing right out in front of the store, and my bright idea said, if you go cop a hit for her right now, I bet she's going to be happy as all hell that you're here. And I went and cop, and I came back, and I put the 40 on the table, and she still looked like, "Oh, thank you, Arthur, thank you." And I'm saying, like, "Man, that ain't enough." And I picked up that package, and I shook that package. And I did like this here. And a smile broke out from ear to ear. "Oh, Arthur, ha, ha, ha." Right? And before I could even think, the first thing came up my mouth was, "I'm first."
Wow.
And I took that hit. Took the biggest hit as I could take, because I had bought it. It wasn't really for her. You know, disease, come on now. Disease be talking to you, right? And I looked at her and no sooner than I hit it. You know, you've been on that run before where everything feels so good. You all pumped up. You got your money. Everything is falling in place. You hold it now. You kicking the woolly bobo. Everything's rolling real good and everything. And you sit back for a minute. You go cop that thing. You talking to your man. Take that first hit and then boom. Total silence. I'm in zombie mode. My spirit is gone. And I'm looking at each other, and we're looking at each other, and we're like, "What you want to do? What you want to do? What you want to do?" And my spirit is gone. And I looked at her, and I'm feeling like, "You stupid motherfucker. Why'd you do this for another hit, man? You know it's going to bring you back here again. It ain't worth it, man." And I looked at her, and Narcotics Anonymous kicked in. The ties that bring us together are stronger than those that will tear us apart. I said, "Don't tell nobody." "Don't tell nobody." And she held on the secret. And I held on the secret. From that day, all the way up till I was getting ready to get 18 months clean. And I told myself in the process that when I get to my fourth step, I'm going to have to share this with my sponsor to let it go. But I couldn't get to my fourth step because I couldn't really build a relationship with God in my third step until I let it go. And so I shared with my sponsor when I got on my third step what had happened, and I was running around here like I was so damn unique. Ain't nobody done this. I'm the only one running around here. I'm seeing people get clean, time and stuff, and I'm feeling like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
I know I got better recovery than him. He got more clean time than me. In my mind, I can't say a word. I'm thinking I'm recovering my butt off, and this dude is, and I'm saying to myself, they better in their recovery. They getting honest. You're still dishonest. Yeah. That stuff is haunting my spirit, man. All that time, man. It's haunting my spirit. And when I told my sponsor said, "Man, that ain't nothing, man. I know somebody over here that gave up 3 years. I know somebody over here that gave up 5 years, man. You ain't done nothing." And it was freeing. It freed me up. It freed me up to understand that there's nothing new under the sun, first of all. But another thing that it freed me up with is that when I let that go, I looked to God and I said, "So God, I let that go now. Now that I let that go, what do you have for me? Is there something?" See, because I want to go deep into this here, but initially, my relationship building with God was built on sacrifice. Later on, it got built on commitment. It got built on doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. But early on in recovery, I was letting go of stuff that I didn't want to let go of because y'all told me it was better. And I looked at God and I said, so what do you got for me, God? Because I'm bartering. I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing. And God said, you got honest, fool. Damn. I said, I know that. But what else have you got for me? He said, I got freedom, fool. The reason why I say is because this relates to the triangle is because it's people I know I had used, and I believe that it's people that in this fellowship that need to hear something that made shake their tree. If you done fucking used, it's okay to share it.
Yeah.
It's okay to let it go. Ain't nobody gonna judge you up in this camp. All we gonna do is love you no matter what. And that's what I learned, is that they're going to love you no matter what. And so, don't have those, because you be holding on to resentments, you be killing your spirit. And if you don't get right, it's a matter of time before the disease is going to take complete control. Because your spirit is going to stay dirty. You ain't going to never get your spirit right. So instead of having resentment from what's happened, anger, and not letting nobody know, and have fear of what the fellowship gonna think. Fuck that. They said you can't save your ass, your face and your ass at the same time. Just some acceptance. This is what happens. You want to be a better woman, better man, get right. This is what happens. Let us love you till you can learn to love yourself again. And have faith. God is still going to be there for you, and we got the rest of our life to live this program and live this life that we live in today. Why not live it right? You know, trying with self-obsession. Pick up the pamphlet. It might help you out. If that don't, look at some other pamphlets. Use your sponsor. Use your home group. Tools of the fellowship. Make your life better and make you a better person. That's all I got to share.